Hello, crackheads. You're listening to Paranormal Cracktivity. My name is Justin.
And I am Dreek.
Welcome back. How's it going?
How is it going? Let's see. I'm chilling. Just been chilling. Been working. More chilling, more working. Damn. That's about it. How about you, Justin? How are you?
You know, I've been feeling all right. I am chilling also. Been going for walks lately, reading and taking it easy, but
yeah. What are you reading?
That's a good question. Right now I'm reading a book called Heartwood by an author named Rowan Reed, who is a forest scientist in Australia.
That's cool. I seen some mushrooms today and I thought about you.
Aw, sweet.
They were like selling like mushroom kits. I think that's what they're called.
Oh yeah.
It was at the farmer's market at Poorhouse.
Oh, I love the I love the Sunday brunch farmer's market. Wow, shout out. That sounds really nice.
But yeah, I seen those mushrooms and I was like, Justin.
Oh. Mushrooms I went
equal Justin.
You know, I did go for a hike this weekend. Yesterday I went to Yellow Branch Falls and it was really beautiful. Not many fresh mushrooms out this season because it's like the middle of winter, but things are just now starting to warm up a little bit in upstate South Carolina. So I saw some really pretty like little tiny mushroom babies that were forming on the logs around the waterfall, which was just gorgeous. So it was a really nice time. Me and Sadie went.
Aw, I miss me some Sadie.
Mm-hmm. She loves it. She is an adventurer. I'll tell you what. She's a wilderness explorer.
Bodhi could explore more if he was like, you know, trained not to like want to lick people in the face every time he sees someone.
Yeah. You just got to get him out on the trail.
I eventually will.
Yeah.
All but right. Do you want to guess what I'm doing today, Justin, or do you not want to guess?
Oh, okay. I do want to guess. Give me a hint. I need a hint though. Like, what's like the general vibe?
Disaster.
Okay, Hurricane Disaster. Katrina.
No Hurricane Katrina.
Is it the Bermuda Triangle?
It does have something to do with the ocean.
Oh, is it the Titanic?
Close. Okay. I don't think you're going to get it.
Yeah, those are my three guesses.
Okay. We are going to talk about the tragedy of the Costa Concordia, a cruise ship that sunk in Italy.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've never heard of this.
Partially sunk in Italy.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. So the Costa Concordia was a cruise ship ordered in 2004 by Costa Conciere, an Italian subsidiary of the Carnival cruise ship line. It was built in Genoa, Italy, and it came to completion and launched on September 2nd, 2005. At the time of its launch, it was 952 feet long and had a beam of 116 feet and 6 inches, and it was Italy's largest ship at the time. Now, the beam is the width of the ship.
Okay.
A lot of the phrases that they use for things on the boat, I feel like they just could have used, like, simpler terms. Mm-hmm. And beam is one of those.
I mean, we're not... I'm not a sailor. I'm not familiar with the jargon.
I'm not. But she had a passenger capacity of 3,780. In comparison, the Titanic was only 882 feet long and could accommodate up to 2,435 passengers. Oh. And a little side note that I wrote after figuring out this information was that was pretty good, because the Titanic sailed in 1912, which is not, I mean, it was like over 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But like, I don't know. I didn't know that cruise ships were that like that old.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Now, on the Costa Concordia, there were 13 public decks, and they all were named after European states. So the first one was Deck 1, which was named after Holland. It was called Hollanda. Deck 2 was Svezia, I think that's how you say it, which was Sweden. Deck 3 was Belgio, which was Belgium. I'm going to say all these. Deck 4 was Grecia, which is Greece. Deck 5 was Italia, which is Italy. Deck 6 was Great Britain. Deck 7 was Ireland. Deck 8 was Portugal. Deck 9 was France. Deck 10 was Germany. Deck 11 was Spain. Deck 12 was Austria. And deck 13 was Poland. And I got tired of trying to say the Italian.
Oh my goodness, wow. That's so many decks.
That's a lot of decks.
Wow.
So the crew slept on the decks that were under the public decks. So there were decks below deck one.
Decks on top of decks, all right.
The Costa Concordia had 1,500 rooms, and about 500 of those had a private balcony. The ship had 4 swimming pools, 2 with retractable roofs, 5 jacuzzis, 5 spas, and a poolside movie theater on the main pool deck. There were also 5 onboard restaurants, with Club Concordia and Samsara taking reservation-only dining. There were 13 bars, including a cigar and cognac bar, and a coffee and chocolate bar.
Oh.
And I'm not done. Entertainment options included a 3-level theater, a casino, a disco, a children's area equipped with video games, and a basketball court. Not done. She had a Grand Prix motor racing simulator and an internet cafe.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, cruise ships are like tiny, like floating islands.
Yeah.
Floating cities.
Yeah, seriously. Like, where else would you need? What else would you need?
You literally wouldn't need anything else.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, I guess it wasn't, but.
The reason why I was drawn to this was because of my recent cruise experience that I absolutely adored. I didn't research this before, because I probably wouldn't have gone on the cruise. Mm. Because you guessed it, some bad stuff starts to happen.
Mm-hmm.
During the launch, it is customary to swing a champagne bottle against the hull. Now, the hull is the lowermost portion of the ship that sits under the water. But when the bottle was swung against the ship, it failed to explode like it was supposed to. This, by many people, is seen as bad luck. She took her maiden voyage in July of 2006 and made stops in France, Italy, and Spain. It was smooth sailing on the ship until November 2008, when the beam of the ship was damaged by being slammed by high winds into a dock in Sicily. It was immediately repaired, but the damage was still visible. It was completely restored in 2011.
Okay.
Now we are transitioning into what I'm going to call the tragedy.
Oh no.
On the night of January 13th, 2012, the Costa Concordia left Italy around 7:18 p.m. with a safe route already planned. But the captain of the ship, Francesco Scatino, ordered a new route for the ship. He wanted to do a sail-by salute off the coast of the island of Giglio. A salute is when a ship comes close enough to the coast so that way the passengers are able to see those who are on land and they can like wave to each other.
Okay.
This is a maneuver that had been done 5 months before for the same island of Giglio, and was actually customary for ships to do so when you pass like an island or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't out of the ordinary that he was doing a drive-by salute. Uh-huh. I mean, not a drive-by, but a sell-by salute.
Drive-by, not out of the ordinary. Got it.
Schettino was an experienced captain, and the reason for the sell-by salute was for his head waiter, who was from the island of Giglio. At 9:34 p.m., he went to the bridge. The bridge is a room where the ship is commanded. It's basically like the control room. He headed to the bridge at 9:34 p.m. to take command of the ship, which was on autopilot because of that route that had already been planned for it. He then called a retired ship captain that lived on the island of Giglio and asked if it was safe to do a sail-by-salute. He was satisfied with the answer that he received on the phone, and at 9:39 he took command of the ship himself. He began to increase in speed, but once he realized that he was too close to the island, he ordered the ship to turn. The helmsman was an Indonesian man, and the two men had difficulty understanding each other. At 9:38, 4 minutes after Schettino took command of the ship, it was already on the path to crash with the rocks that were not visible under the water.
Oh no.
The first officer on board was ordering different things than Schettino, and there was mass confusion on the bridge of the ship. Oh. Due to the strong winds and horrible steering, at 9:44 p.m., the ship collided with the rocks off the coast of Giglio Island.
Oh, wow.
The whole ship buckled, and the passengers and crew on board had a feeling that something wasn't right. A 174-foot-long gash was made on the port side. The port side of the ship is the left side of the ship.
Thank you.
So, a 174-foot-long gash was made on the port side hull along three compartments of the engine room, which were on deck zero. This resulted in power losses, leading to the loss of propulsion and the loss of electrical systems, which crippled the ship, so the ship couldn't go anywhere. There was an announcement on the ship that stated that there was a power outage, but everything was okay. Schettino knew everything wasn't okay. And the other higher-ups knew that something horrible had happened. In just 20 seconds, 2,000 tons of water had flooded the engine room. The ship listed to the left, and the word listed means it tilted. So it tilted to the left.
Okay.
Schettino called the ship's owners, Casa Conchiere, but no one really knows how that phone conversation went. None of the officers ordered an emergency siren or ordered an emergency evacuation.
Whoa, wow.
Word is starting to get around to the crew members, and passengers are starting to freak out when crew members are seen with life jackets. All the crew members are telling everyone that everything is fine, but you also have other crew members that are walking around wearing life jackets. One man asked a crew member that he's seen, "If everything is okay, then why do you have on a life jacket?" The crew member did not give that man an answer. Now the passengers are starting to freak out, and they are going to their cabins to get their life jackets and important things, like passports and medication.
Mm-hmm.
The Italian Coast Guard was informed when family members of some of the passengers contacted them to tell them that their family members were on a ship that didn't have any power.
Wow, finally.
Thank you. I mean, I'm getting to a point where I'm like, why are the people this is like a common thread in the story that like people who should not be responsible for saving these people's lives taking the bar and trying to help these people out, because obviously the higher-ups don't give a crap.
Wow, that's insane. Wow. Oh my gosh.
At 10:12, there was still no order to evacuate the ship. and the Italian Coast Guard calls the Costa Concordia and speaks with a crew member on the ship, but they don't tell the Coast Guard that they just hit a rock. And that all they don't tell the Coast Guard that they just hit a rock, and that all the power on the ship is off. Because if the power of the on the ship is off, then you don't have any propellers.
What did they tell them? What? Hey, everything's fine. We're just not moving. We're just out here. Everything's fine. We can't see, but everything's fine.
But we can't see.
But we're sinking. But everything's fine.
The member of the crew denies that there's a bigger problem, and the crew member just says that the only thing that is wrong is that there's a blackout, and they will fix it.
Okay. Okay.
Knowing good and darn well they just hit a rock.
Okay.
No, and the Coast Guard calls, and they're like, "Is everything okay?" You could have said, "No, we need help evacuating the ship."
Right. Right.
You say there's not a problem.
Wow.
So luckily, the Coast Guard was not buying it, and they sent a helicopter to check out the situation off the coast of Giglio.
Oh, wow.
There was still no evacuation order from the bridge. It had been 30 minutes since the boat had been struck, and there was still not an order to evacuate the ship.
Oh, my God. I can't.
I can't either. Passengers can now see that they are leaning to one side, and they can also see that water is starting to get onto the boat. Passengers are now gathering on deck 4, where the lifeboats are, but many people went to the wrong muster station. Now, a muster station on a boat is a pre-chosen destination that you are supposed to go in the case of an emergency.
Oh.
Like hitting an iceberg or hitting a rock, and you have to evacuate the ship. You're supposed to go to your muster station, and you're supposed to go to your muster station before you even go to your room. That's all important.
I have been to know where your muster station is. I have been on a cruise. It's been a very long time, and I do remember doing that before we set sail. We went to our stations before we set sail.
Yes. Apparently, they didn't do this before the cruise because people were going to their wrong muster station. So everyone was told to go to one muster station. So everyone on the boat was trying to go to that one muster station. But there are other muster stations on the boat.
My God. Oh my God.
People begin to get on the lifeboats. But there aren't people there who know how to work them, i.e. the crew members who are in the cabin who are supposed to order evacuation.
Because everything's fine. I mean, are you kidding me?
Exactly. They're supposed to be uniformed officers there guiding this whole process of evacuation. They even haven't even called an evacuation yet. And it's been 30 minutes, and they know that they're sinking. They know they hit a rock.
Wow.
So there are no uniformed officers, and there's just pure chaos and terror running through the minds of people trying to get on the lifeboat. The only people who were helping the passengers were like the people who were in the kitchen staff, the maids and other crew members who weren't trained to evacuate large sums of people from the ship because that's not their job.
Right. But they're the only ones with some sense, of course, that are like, let's get off of this ship.
Yeah. I mean, like, there are people who had worked on this boat for 10 years as like doing different things, like either being in the kitchen or being like a maid or like being like, and performers, like cruise members are performers. Like, I mean, crews have like sometimes performances, but you have these people that they're not trained to evacuate large sums of people trying to evacuate these passengers and themselves.
Right. Right. Just madness.
I know. And at 10:33 p.m., 49 minutes after the ship was hit, Scatina ordered a general emergency signal.
Oh my
Not gosh. An evacuation signal, just an emergency signal. At 10:43, his first officer on the bridge tried to persuade Scatina to order wait and evacuate ship order, but he did not do this. Shortly before 11 p.m., it was becoming nearly impossible to use the lifeboats on the side that was opposite of the tilting side, because the boats would just then hit the boat and then slide down on the side of the boat rather than go straight into the water. As lifeboats are being deployed, they're getting stuck on the side of the ship. And so now people are really freaking out because they're trying to get off the boat and you can't, the ship has tilted so much that you can't even slide a lifeboat off of it. Oh, that's how bad the ship has tilted.
In only 45 minutes or 49 minutes. Wow.
Still no order to evacuate ship. So Mario Pellegrini was the island's deputy mayor, and he would be the one to save many lives from the sinking ship. As lifeboats began to flood the port of Giglio, the tiny island town of only 600 began preparing for the influx of people on the island. Mm-hmm. Every room on the island was being used for housing. So they opened up the schoolhouse and they opened up all the local churches. Oh. And people were just in there. And you would have heaps and sums of people in the church. And there's only one bathroom.
Oh, yeah. That's such a small town. 600 people.
Yeah. Wow. It's an island. Mario Pellegrini went on the boat himself to try to help the captain with the evacuation process. But when he got to the boat, Schettino was nowhere to be found. When Pellegrini got on the boat, there was no sense of command. And there was, at this point, a lack of chivalry. So people were just like trying to evacuate themselves. They had disregarded the whole women and children first. Women, children, and the elderly first. They've disregarded this.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Where is he? Where did he go?
Where is Schettino?
Yeah.
He can't go far. I'm just going to say that. When Pellegrini got on the boat, it was listed at a 45-degree angle. Mm-hmm. People were crying, yelling. They were hurt and trying to run. But they couldn't run because, like I said, the boat was at a 45-degree angle. And the corner where the floor meets the wall was now the lowest point, and people had to walk on that.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So they couldn't. It's so bad that they can't even walk straight now. Mm. At 12:18 a.m., the ship began to turn over. Water had begun to break windows due to the pressure, and people became trapped. This is when the shipwreck became fatal. People were pulled down by the force of the water and were trapped under the water. Some people that were left on the boat, which were mainly men at this point, began to jump because they had gotten so close to the water that it made more sense to jump and swim to the land rather than wait for another lifeboat to come back for them.
Oh, no.
The men were not taking a chance because the men were not taking a chance because no one knew how deep the ship would sink. Mm. So they don't know if the ship is going to go like completely underwater.
Yeah, right. Huh.
So the reason why Pellegrini couldn't find Schettino is that during all the confusion, he had gotten on a lifeboat and evacuated safely.
What? A fucking dickhead.
Schettino, the captain of the ship, the person with the most knowledge of the ship, evacuated.
Oh my God.
In his lifeboat. Oh, didn't try to stay and help people get off, didn't help deploy lifeboats. He got off the boat in the lifeboat and made it to land safely.
What? Oh.
Never ordered an evacuate ship.
But he evacuated.
But he and a couple other people who were in the bridge evacuated.
Wow. That is ridiculous.
This story makes me, I'm like, it makes me, it just makes me mad.
Makes me ill. I'm stressed. Wow.
So, Pellegrini looked for passengers, and he even went up to the bridge, but like I said, there was no sign of any officers. along with the ship's doctor and a young officer, like a lower ranking officer, Pellegrino was able to save people all night. Giulio residents opened up their homes, and one resident, by the name of Caterina Pellegrini, said that she was expecting about 4 people to stay in her guest room. By the morning, there were 50 people in her house.
Whoa.
The Coast Guard commander, Gregorio De Falco, finally got in contact with Scatino and ordered that he go back to the ship on a lifeboat and save the remaining people stuck on the boat. Scatino said that he was staying on land to help with the relief efforts. De Falco asks Scatino if he's refusing the command, and Scatino replies that he is not refusing the command. De Falco also informs him that there are, quote, corpses on the boat. Scatino never returned to the boat. And there is a phone call of this interaction where you can hear Scatino and De Falco talking. And the amount of anger and, like, upsetness in De Falco's voice is, like, very, like, discerning.
Mm. Wow.
It's just very it's very heart-wrenching for him to, like, tell the captain of a ship that has so many passengers that he has to go back to the ship to save the people that he left on the boat.
What and a coward.
Back to that boat.
Seriously, wow, what a coward.
Call him Courage, because he is a cowardly dog. At 4:46 a.m., the rescue mission was marked as, quote, complete. The next day, rescuers saved a South Korean newlywed couple who had slept through the partial sinking, wow. Only to wake and find that they couldn't open the cabin's door because it was 2 decks below the waterline.
Oh, no.
The ship's purser, who is the person who is responsible for all the ship's finances and money, was found with a broken leg, still on board after they marked the rescue mission as complete. As dawn came, people could see the full extent of the damage. Many of the people did not know that they were on an island, and as rescue boats came to bring them to mainland Italy, many refused to get on another boat because they were so terrified of being back on the water.
Oh, wow.
This is also when rescuers began to dive into the boat to look for more people. There were about 3 more people left on board, but there were many bodies of those who were not able to make it off the boat.
Oh.
For the next few days, family members of the deceased came to Giulio to identify the bodies of their loved ones. Scatino was also arrested the next morning, and a criminal investigation began.
Oh, good.
Sadly, at this point, a few days after the ship had sank, there were still missing people that were not accounted for. Over the next couple of months, rescuers would find the remains of all the missing people. But it wasn't until November 3rd, 2014, 2 years after the sinking, well, partial sinking, that the last body was found.
Whoa.
On July 20th, 2013, 5 people were found guilty of manslaughter, negligence, and wrecking. Roberto Ferranini, who was the crisis director, you know, in case of a crisis.
Uh-huh.
Manrico Giampedroni, who was the cabin service director, and 3 crew members, First Officer Ciro Ambrosio, Helmsman Jacob Rossi Ben, and Third Officer Silvia Coronica. They were all given sentences between 1 and 2.5 years.
And wait, did you say Scatino got sentenced too?
Oh, we haven't gotten to Scatino yet.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, since we stopped, I don't understand how they're able to convict them, like crew members who were just following directions, for example. Like,
no directions were given. If I was in that position.
Yeah. Oh, no directions.
They were supposed to. Those are the people who were this, who were supposed to give directions.
Oh, I see.
In case of an emergency.
I see. And they weren't telling them that things were damaged to the point of no return. Okay.
No. So you have the crisis director, the cabin service director, the first officer, a helmsman, and another officer. Those are people who are, like, in charge of how the ship goes. And none of them put forth the effort to try to evacuate this mass number of people off of a sinking ship.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Anyway, so John Padroni, the hotel director, was convicted for his role in the evacuation, which was described as chaotic. The helmsman was convicted for steering the ship in the wrong direction after Scatino ordered a corrective maneuver. Lawyers for the victims declared the sentences as shameful and said that they might appeal to overturn the plea bargains that allowed reduced sentences in return for guilty pleas. The company, Costa Cruises, avoided trial in April by agreeing to pay 1 million euros in fines, which is about $1,806,450 in American currency.
Wow.
Unfortunately, none of the five officers were jailed because their sentences were suspended.
Oh, no way.
Captain Scatino, on the other hand, was charged with manslaughter and causing the loss of a ship. When his trial resumed in October 2013, I tried to say this name earlier, and I'm going to screw it up. I've screwed up all the Italian names and all the European names so far. Dominica Simorden. Dominica Simorden? Okay. Admitted that she had been having an affair with Scatino and that she was a non-paying passenger on the ship. The helmsman, Jacob Rusley Ben, failed to appear in court in March 2014 to give his evidence and was thought to have run away to Indonesia.
Oh.
Roberto Ferranini told the court in April of the same year that Scatino asked me to tell the maritime authorities that the collision was due to a blackout on the ship. I strongly objected. End quote. Passengers told the court in May that if they had followed the officers' directions to go to their cabins, that they would have all been drowned. In February 2015, Scatino was convicted and sentenced to 16 years in prison. Scatino appealed against the sentence, which was initially upheld in May 2016. And then finally in May 2017. He is serving his sentence in Rome. Now, after the ship sank, some environmental issues related to the Concordia wreck were of particular concern. The vessel was on the edge of an underwater cliff, leading to worries that the ship might slip and fall apart, causing the diesel on the ship to flow into the ocean. To lessen any potential damage, oil booms were placed around the wreckage. And in February 2012, workers began removing more than 2,000 tons of fuel. The undertaking was completed in March of 2012. During this time, work also began to remove the vessel in what was the largest maritime salvage operation in history. It was not until September 2013 that the 114,000-ton Concordia was made upright. The 19-hour process involved specially built underwater platforms, cranes, and some 500 people. In July 2014, the Concordia was towed to Genoa, Italy, or it was dismantled for scrap. The total cost of the disaster, including victims' compensation, refloating, towing, and scrapping, is estimated to be at $2 billion. More than three times the ship's construction cost. Costa Cruises offered compensation to passengers, which was about $12,000 per person, to pay for all the damages, including the value of the cruise. And only one third of the survivors took the offer.
Interesting.
I know. I would have been like, give me my money.
I'd have been like, give me more money.
Like, actually,
are you kidding?
Like, I want a Ferrari after what I've just been through.
Right? After all that trauma.
No, I don't want a Ferrari. I want a house on the river.
On the Mediterranean.
I want a house on the Mediterranean. Mm. I want a house in Greece. Mm-hmm. After all I went through. Well, that is the tragedy of the Costa Concordia, which took the lives of 32 people. In 2012, the Seattle Times put out this article that had the list of the dead and the list of the missing people that were still missing. Mm-hmm. So a little over a month after the crash, there were only 18 people accounted for.
Oh, wow.
So let's see.
Out of the 30-something you said?
Yeah, out of the 32.
32.
So that means that there were 14 that were still missing a month after the ship partially sank. Which is really sad.
Yeah, that is really sad.
And I'm sorry to end on that for the case. But that's the case of the tragedy of the Costa Concordia.
Wow, that was very tragic, very enlightening. Wow. Shout out to all of the amazing people that did actually step up and try to help people get off of the boat. And absolutely. The captain, what was his name?
Scatino,
what was the other one? Copta?
I don't even know. Really don't care.
You know, all of them can get fucked, honestly.
There's not much else you can do after 32 people died at your hands. So. Mm. But do you want to guess the number one song on the day that the Costa Concordia crashed?
Ooh. What was the day? Remind me.
January 13th, 2012.
January 13th, 2012.
Right before my 12th birthday.
I'm not sure if this is right. I'm going to go with Disturbia by Rihanna.
That came out way before this.
I know it did, but... Okay.
I was like, oh gosh.
Let me take that back. Let me take that back. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Was it
this
Adele?
Is when I. No. I oh, feel like shoot. This is when. This is. I'm going to give you a hint. Like, this is when, like, the beginning of, like, the internet dance craze. Like, dance crazes were beginning to, like, become popular on the internet.
Gangnam Style.
No. Good guess.
Oh, okay. Close. Okay.
That's your first one.
Okay, I need a hint.
The title of the song has the word sexy in it.
Is it Justin Timberlake?
I was just about to say it's not Justin Timberlake.
I can't believe that.
You beat me to it.
I can't believe it.
That's number two. It's by a group. It's by a group, I think, or a duo. Don't know much about them.
Is it sex? No. I can't decide. I give up.
It was Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO.
Ah,
I'm
wow.
sexy and I know it.
Oh man, for some reason I feel like that came out earlier too. That doesn't seem like a
This
very
whole time
2012
to
thing to me.
me, it's just a blur.
Yeah, for real. Wow, that was good trivia.
I would try to name the names of the victims, but I don't want to do them any disservice by like butchering their names.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I will put the link to the Seattle Times post in the description for this week's episode.
That sounds good. Yeah,
Is there any
wow.
business that we need to cover, Justin?
Don't take a cruise, guys. Like,
I beg to differ. It's even, I mean, cruises are the bomb.com. All you can
I
eat food.
already had a distrust of cruises because the laws are different at sea, and some people exploit
Yeah.
that. And so hearing this was just maybe like, pff, now I'd like
But you
have
also have to
zero
think,
trust.
it's more likely, you're more likely to get into a car accident and die in a car accident than you are to die in a cruise ship.
Is that
Because think
true?
about it. Yes, because this is like one in like, you know how many cruises happen a year? And this is just
No,
one
I'm
cruise that.
poor.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
Well, ask your parents. Well, I'm just saying, like, just to have this one rare occurrence where you had a captain that number one didn't care about the safety or the lives of the passengers. I feel like if the ship were to have sank under the direction of another captain, I don't
Yeah.
think any lives would have been lost.
Yeah, you're
I
probably
really don't.
right.
I think they would have evacuated if anyone
Yeah.
with some
And
sense.
if they had been prepared the way that they should have been prepared, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
But
very, very tragic.
it's tragic, but you can shoot us your tragic stories at paranormalcractivitypodcast@gmail.com, or
That's
you can
right.
shoot us a DM at
Paranormal Cracktivity
paranormalcractivity
Podcast
on Instagram.
on Instagram.
We do not have a Twitter. We do not have a YouTube page. We do not have a TikTok yet.
Yet. I'm sorry, I don't have TikTok. I can't.
That's all I have for you today, guys.
Woo, thank you, Dreek.
Woo, 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 woo.
All right, guys. Come back next time.
Yeah, and don't do crack.
And don't smoke crack.
Please don't. It's not cute. It's really
P
not.
please don't.